All right, and welcome to another Beer for Breakfast podcast. My name is Jason Mahoney. Joining me today in the Beer for Breakfast home studios.
Yes.
My good friend, Pam.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
It's been a minute. We haven't done a Beer for Breakfast podcast in, it's been like, what, 2 months or something like that?
It's been way too long.
I've been forced to work.
I've been awful.
Why would they make you do such a thing?
I don't know. Have you seen that meme that was going around? It says what do you want now, you asshole, blah, blah, blah. Then it says, like, me answering every email that's directly related to the job I was hired for and the task I'm assigned to do.
Exactly.
Which is totally correct.
Like, why would you email me about this, you son of a bitch? I hope nothing but ill will upon you and your entire household. But we've got some good beers in front of us today, and we're just going to ease. We're going to ease into today.
Oh, I think so.
With a 7%er.
Easy streak.
That's the lowest we've got today.
Oh, my God.
We'll see how today's Beer for Breakfast goes. But you know what? There's a lot of good beers that I saw that I was out there and picked some stuff up. And, you know, this one, you and I are both a sucker for the hazy IPAs.
Yeah.
They just drink so easy. Doesn't matter what the ABV is. And Avery's traditionally been a really good brewing company over the last few years. So the beer that we're going to start off with this Beer for Breakfast podcast with is the Avery Brewing Company's Hazy-ish IPA. Juicy and hazy India Pale Ale, what's it say on the side? Brewed with Rocky Mountain water, malted barley, malted wheat, flaked oats, hops, Simcoe, Amarillo, Azcaca, and Mosaic and yeast.
Is Caca in here?
Azcaca? I don't know. Azcaca? A-Z-A-C-C-A? Azcaca?
Sure.
I mean, whatever.
Avery puts out great beers. I just think that they, hold on. Let's get the important stuff going first. They're kind of one of the ones that one of those breweries that, you know, whatever they put out, you're probably going to like.
Yeah, it's pretty good. The only one that was a miss for me was their, the Limey Goes.
Oh, that tasted too limey.
Yeah, it just didn't hit for me. You know, didn't have enough salt. And I think that's just a subjective thing right there. You know, I mean, I'm sure it was a finely crafted beer. It just, I wanted a little bit more salt.
Right.
I like those with a little bit more salt.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Whatever. It depends for me because I'm with you on that. And as our palates have progressed into enjoying the goes and the sours and stuff like that, now I feel like I made that leap into like the sour land. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now I'm starting to see sours where it's like, calm down.
Yeah.
It's like, this one has strawberry, milk, lactose, banana. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, why?
I feel like adding lactose to a beer is just like, what are you doing?
I don't know.
Why would you even bother? I mean, I get, everything's a milkshake. Everything's a milkshake. No, everything doesn't need to be. It's just it was the ingredient de jour for, you know, 8 months.
And ew.
Yeah,
it
whatever.
Just sounds gross.
Well, I mean, you're also putting off a decent amount of your people, right? I mean, like, doesn't that make you like
lactose intolerant people?
Yeah, because it's just sugars, right?
I mean.
But that's what makes the people get all like all bubble guts and stuff.
I guess.
I don't know. I'm not lactose intolerant, but
I would die if I didn't have like dairy in my life. Or seriously, I don't know what I would do.
Man, I was reading something the other day. Somebody was like, if you give up cheese, it'll change your whole life. If you give up dairy products and sugar.
Yeah, but it'll make my life shitty.
I'm like, if I give up dairy products and sugar, I might as well be just dead.
Yeah.
What am I doing with my life if I'm not able to eat dairy products and or sugar?
You're walking around with a stick of celery in your hand going, what the hell just happened? What happened to me?
Can't even eat peanut butter. Sugar and peanut butter.
Yeah. No. Yeah. What do you do?
What do you do? Like, what do you do with that celery stick? You're walking.
Shove it up your head.
That's right. It probably tastes better that way. Looking at the hazy-ish IPA from Avery. Man, this thing has a big old head on it.
Yeah,
man.
It does.
Like, just big, fluffy, carbonated head, and man, this thing is, I mean, when they say hazy-ish,
it's hazy.
This thing is 100% hazy.
That is opaque.
Yeah, you can't, like, my judgment, I should take off my ring because I'm going to just keep slapping it on the old desk.
Still getting used to that, huh?
Yeah, you know, I like wearing the ring. I just don't like it when I'm talking on the radio.
Right.
Or especially like if
I'm. But you're a hand talker too.
Yeah, yeah. I talk with my hands.
Yeah.
Like, but if I don't have it on or if I'm not sleeping with it on
or
whatever, it feels weird.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like I never used to wear a ring.
Yeah.
Now I do. Now it feels weird if I'm not wearing it.
I get it.
That sort of thing. Same thing with like a Fitbit. I never used to wear a watch or a Fitbit. Then I started wearing it. Now I feel empty without it.
It's first world problems right here.
These are these are definitely first world problems that we're having. But the way that I, going, getting back to where I was, the way that I judge, I mean, if it's hazy, if you hold you know, you've got your thumb facing towards you and you've got three or four fingers away from you. And if you can't see your fingers through that, that is 100%, you know, that is not opaque.
No.
That is dense. That is hazy. And it smells really good. I mean, a lot of really fluffy head on there. It's like lightly, you know, you're looking at the head on this, just very, I like seeing the big carbonation bubbles.
So do I, because I prefer a highly carbonated beer rather than, I don't like nitro beers. We've talked about this. It depends for me.
Well, we got a nitro beer coming up.
Oh, really? Wait, is it dark though?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
Oh yeah. No. I'm with you. Like you take the Cali Creamin, which is an amazing beer in and of itself. And then you put it on nitro, which you're like, oh, that's going to be awesome. Then you're like, no, it's not.
No, because it takes away the
effervescence.
Yeah. And I think it's a mental visual thing too. If I'm drinking a lighter beer, I want it to feel refreshing and not like I left it out overnight and then I looked at it in the morning, I was like, this is probably still good, and then drank it. That's what a nitro beer tastes like.
Yeah, you woke up in the morning, you're like, oh shit, what did I drink last night?
Yes.
How did I end up here with this?
Exactly.
Why did this happen?
And then, or you take a sip and you're expecting it and then it's completely flat. I don't know. Not to mention, it takes a long time to pour.
Yeah.
You know?
Longer time.
Longer wait time.
You're screwing everybody else up. Everybody who's waiting for a beer, especially if you're at a busy beer bar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a busy beer bar and ask for a flight of nitros.
They will punch you straight
in the
throat.
See how fast you get those, dude.
they will toss you right out of that place. Well, let's take a drink. Let's try this.
Cheers.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
A couple months and drinking the Avery Hazy-ish IPA.
Super mellow nose.
Yep, that's good.
That's great.
I mean, 7%er, like that is...
Oh, that is juicy.
Yeah, very, very juicy.
Like I get more of a super strong kind of orange.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
There's a good citrus, but it's not like acidic.
No,
you know,
it's like...
There's a couple of those hazy IPAs out there that are a little too acidic.
Yeah.
That are almost like orange juice, you know? And they bite a certain different way. This is just, man, I could drink this. I actually wish this was a little bit colder.
Really? Yeah.
I just picked this up. I actually wish this was about 10 degrees cooler.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's doing the trick. But the, it's a smooth mouthfeel.
Oh,
rather
yeah.
than, like you're saying, that citrusy.
It's not crisp.
Mm-mm.
Not crisp, no. But very smooth, very easy to drink. Very, you know.
These could go down quick.
Oh, these are going to go down quick.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the beer that we're getting started off with, too. So,
right.
I mean, I feel like this is a good gateway into what we've got coming up a little bit later on the podcast.
Excellent.
But we do have a nitro, but I mean it's from our friends though.
Okay.
It's from our friends at Modern Times.
Great. Well then done and done. You know it.
You know, I figured it's been a minute since we've done a podcast on with you, just me and you, and I figured we should bring back some of our old friends.
Our old friends.
Modern Times, and we've got our friends over there at Big Dogs, man. We've got one from Big Dogs that I don't know if you've had yet or not. And big congrats to Big Dogs.
Huge congrats.
Three medals.
They got a gold and I think two bronze.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's killer. That's a
big time. I mean, most in the state of Nevada, I believe.
By far. I think they were super stoked. And I saw Dave Pasquale over there.
Mm-hmm.
Big Dogs is my spot, dude. I love to go there and watch football. They have their food is so good. They put all this new stuff on their menu. They have, ready for this? And this is coming from a person who lived in the South.
Yeah.
A pimento cheese sandwich.
Oh, I'm in on that.
With bacon.
Okay.
It's unbelievable.
I love pimento cheese. I feel like it's a cheese that gets overlooked here.
It is.
Out west.
Completely overlooked out west. And they make it in-house. It's not like they buy it from Sysco or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good, dude. I can't even. I get my pimento cheese sandwich.
I'll put that on a pretzel roll or something. They got pretzel rolls there?
They got... I don't know. I think they do.
They got to have some sort of pretzel roll.
They probably do. I don't know. They do that one on like a sourdough. I almost wish it would have been on a pretzel roll. But But my move is I put it on everything. Anything I order, I go, think they can throw some pimento cheese on that? Grilled chicken breast, pimento cheese on it. So good.
Get a quesadilla, throw some pimento cheese on top of that.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
I mean, I've gotten into this debate over the years that people don't think that cheese is a condiment. Cheese, 100%.
Goes on everything.
And could be classified as a condiment. Yes, it is a item of food, but I believe it also should be classified because you've got like nacho cheese. There's several different forms of cheese which lend themselves to be considered a condiment.
I would agree.
You know, like you've got, okay, so let's say you've got a salad, right?
Right.
you sprinkle cheese on top of that.
Unless you're a crackhead, yes, you do.
Yeah, I feel like that is a like cheese
yeah, okay,
is
I'm with
a
you.
Condiment.
It's a topping. It's a topping.
But it's also not a topping because you can like when you throw it in stuff too, you know?
Oh,
I mean, on top of everything, it is phenomenal, but yeah. Inside stuff too.
Cheese inside stuff?
Mm-hmm. Even better. Like a Juicy Lucy?
Oh, yeah. But they're
or
so
a Gooey
messy.
Louie, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah. Cheese inside stuff is excellent, always.
I feel like we should have a podcast called Cheese Inside Stuff just make stuff with cheese inside of
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And then we drink beer and eat stuff with cheese inside of it.
Let's start. Coming up next.
Working on it.
Oh, you heard it here first, guys.
Need a little bit more lead out time on that one. Get some bacon and stuff.
Yeah,
going
well,
on.
There's not much to think about. We just, jam it in there.
Yeah.
Like pounding out a chicken breast, mm-hmm. Throw some goat cheese in there, roll it up.
Oh, God. Cheese inside of stuff.
Cheese inside
Have you seen that Cheese It pizza, though?
Okay. Yes. And that,
that is garbage.
That's
an abomination.
I thought it was a joke.
I thought it was too,
a parody commercial, and I was like, look at that. It's a big Cheez-It pizza. And then my friend was like, I think that's real. And I was like, no way. And I Googled it, and it was like, ugh.
Yeah, it's like somewhere in between. It doesn't have the crispness of a Cheez-It. And it
Wait, have you tried it?
Oh, no. Oh, no. No, no. I had a friend who tried it.
Really?
He was just
Is
like.
Is it soft?
It's soft.
Ugh,
yeah.
Gross.
Like, if it had the texture of a Cheez-It and you had pizza inside of it or cheese, like melted you know, mozzarella inside of it, I would be all about that.
You know what? I'd be fine with a Cheez-It crust, like a bottom crust.
Yes.
But you don't need to wrap it all up.
Yeah.
Like, calm down.
It's like crappy mozzarella sticks.
Ugh, there's nothing worse.
Which, why would you even do it? Which I feel like Cheez-It has, their brand is pretty impeccable.
A Cheez-It is a delight.
When do you eat a Cheez-It and you go, I don't know about that.
No, you eat a Cheez-It and you go, I should eat these more.
I should eat like 30,000 of these.
Yeah, I should get these more. Why don't I buy these at the store?
Why do I only get these on road trips?
I will also tell you, though, Cheez-It is a type of food that the knockoff will never be good.
Oh, the whatever the hell the, what's the other one called?
Not Cheez-It.
Nips. Nips?
Yeah, Nips.
Nips?
Nips.
Nips?
Yeah. Nips.
Also, your name's Nips. Come on. Come on, man. What are you doing? You can really, that's the best you could come up with.
Yeah, throw some of those nips in my face.
Cheese nips.
Cheese nips. But you know what I
mean? That sounds like a fetish. That doesn't sound like a food.
That's the second podcast we're going to do. But there's certain foods like Cheez-Its.
Mm-hmm.
Any knockoff is never going to be good. Triscuits are the same.
I've never had a knockoff Triscuit.
Oh, Trader Joe's, like their woven wheat crackers? Garbage.
Never even would have thought about buying those.
Well, you think about it because you're there.
Yeah, and you're like,
and then you're like, oh, I gotta get cheese, so I might as well get the crackers.
Mm-hmm.
And how bad could they be? They look like Triscuits. And then you're like,
nope, not even close.
Triscuit. Not even close.
I always get the cheese nips on flights.
Oh, if you have the choice?
No. Though I'm saying that, the only time they're foisted upon me.
Oh,
when I'm on a flight, and that's the only. It's like that, they don't even do peanuts anymore.
I know.
So, they're like, here's some cheese nips.
Or pretzels, and that's such a downer.
And they're like not even like salted enough, so they're just kind of mealy.
Yeah,
you're
and then
like,
your mouth has that.
Yeah, garbage.
Garbage. And then you're like, well, you might as well bring me another beer, because now I'm thirsty.
When you order beers on flights,
yes.
do you out the gate go straight to?
Yeah, absolutely.
Me too, every time. Sometimes three.
Oh, I don't go three. No, I go two.
Depends on the flight. If it's a quick flight. I go three. Like if it's
an LA flight? Three beers in 45 minutes. It's been done.
LA, Reno, San Francisco. I did three there, three back.
Yeah. Well that's solid.
About an hour.
Yeah.
About an hour.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I had a pretty good buzz going at the end of it. But I got one shot at this because it's a quick flight.
Now I also do, and it depends. Now, if I'm ordering from a person, I haven't gone more than two just because I feel like I'm going to look like, oh, we got a problem in 17C, right? But on like Virgin America or whatever they are now, Alaskan or whatever, but on the Virgin Plains, they have the, the in headrest ordering system.
Oh, you can just order straight from, really?
Oh, my
God. I only ever fly Southwest, like 99%.
You should look into it because the planes are awesome and they're bigger seats. They're cool. They're nice.
Yeah.
But they have the in thing, the in headrest thing in front of you where you go, you pull up, drinks, cocktails, whatever. And then you're like, beer. And then you go, boop. And it has all the different beers they have. And then you order it. And then you can order
multiple.
And then it registers your, then you pay for it with your credit card in the headrest.
Yep.
And then it says, they're on their way. So they don't really do drink service. They just, like, when you order it,
oh,
they just bring
so
it to you.
That's so much better.
Food, too.
That's so much better.
It's so much better. And then you don't feel like they just come up and they say, here you go. The best ever was I was a baller. About 3 years ago, we went to the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at the difference in prices. And it only came out to be like $300 more to do the whole shebang first class. And I'm like, that's a no-brainer.
Like round trip? First class or just one?
300 each way.
Okay.
But there are multiple flights.
Okay.
So it was 300. So I flew from Vegas to Charlotte, Charlotte to St. Thomas.
Okay.
And then you take a ferry from St. Thomas to St. John. So it's a long travel day.
I was going to say, yeah, that, I mean, even Vegas to Charlotte, you're looking at close to, four or five hours?
Five hours, and then you're 3 hours down. So it's 8 hours in the air.
So, yeah, 8 hours in the air. $300 more for first class?
Done and done.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
You break it out by hour, it's worth every penny.
Yep.
So just in the drinks alone. I mean, really, that's what I would have probably spent.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But those drinks aren't that expensive on flights.
But the best was on the way back, right? So, you know, getting out there, I flew the red eye. It was just kind of just whatever. I just like had a drink and went to bed. But on the way back, you know, you've been 10 days in the Caribbean. You know, you're all tan. You've got crazy.
Your hair's braided. You got beads in it.
No. I just had like crazy Afro beach hair that I didn't care because I felt like I was fake rich. Because I'm fake rich in first class,
you know?
And so I'm sitting there, and the flight attendant, to this day, best flight attendant ever. I wrote an email to the company saying how awesome she was.
Damn.
She was awesome. And this was like her career. She was probably early 60s, nice as could be. And so you order your food online before you get on board. And so she said, you know, Monsieur, you're going to have, we have you with the chicken and this and then that and that. Would you care for some wine with your meal? I said, absolutely. So, you know, first class, they bring a bottle of wine. They don't bring you the little guys.
Did they leave you a whole bottle of wine?
Wait, listen. She said so perfectly. She said, I'm going to go ahead and just pour this. I ordered Chardonnay or whatever.
Yeah.
She, you know, she comes and pours it into an actual wine glass out of a bottle.
Oh, fancy.
Not like you get your own little mini bottles. And she said, once I pour this wine, should I continue with the wine throughout the flight? And I said, please. Thank you.
So debonair.
Like, if you mean, should you never stop putting this fucking wine in my glass? The answer is yes.
That is the nicest way of saying, like, yeah, I want to get drunk now.
So
tonight.
I got off the plane. Katie from Tanea came and picked me up at the airport. She started laughing so hard. I'm coming down that escalator at McCarran, you know, where you're heading down to the baggage claim. She's like, you were so sunburned and so drunk.
Were you just like swaying?
Swaying. I'm trying to like drag my bags, just falling over. She's just like, what happened? I was like, I continued with the wine.
That is a stewardess. That is a flight attendant who knows what is up.
What's up?
And
right.
You repeat service. I don't think I've ever written a company for
pro
for like pro service.
Oh, you got him.
No, I mean I probably should, but you're like, oh, I'll do it. Then you always forget about it, but. Props to her. She's the real MVP.
Real MVP, dude. She had that down.
So my last flight, we flew out to Pebble Beach.
Like you do.
Because we're fake rich.
Speaking of fake rich.
Oh, my God. I'm still paying off my credit card on that one. We fly out there for a buddy's 50th birthday. He's always wanted to play it, that sort of thing. And three of us are on our way out there. And the flight attendant... hears me wrong. So it's a Southwest flight. So we're just flying into San Jose.
Right.
And I go, I want three Blue Moon.
Right.
And somehow she equated that with three, what are those called? The orange juice and champagne?
Mimosas.
She thought I said three mimosas.
That doesn't even sound anything like it.
Not even close. I mean, to be fair, she was probably the most attractive flight attendant I have ever seen in my entire life. And I'm like, what is, like, because it's like somebody who's like, you know, you're probably like a 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
And you go, what are you doing? What, like, you should be.
That's a classic case of looks over brains.
You should be modeling or something, like something crazy.
Right.
But she brings me these three and she just hands them to me. And I'm like, I'm just kind of confused. I think I'm like holding them. Like I'm looking.
Like, where are these going?
Because we all sat the three guys, we all sat on aisle seats. So we could all just kind of like all get aisle seats.
Yeah.
And as you get older, you know, I don't want to be in the middle and have to like go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So all three of us sat on the aisle seats and that's how we're talking.
Yeah.
And I thought it might be for the people inside. And I'm like holding these and I'm like,
kind of looking back and forth, and nobody else, she's like, oh, didn't you order these? And I'm like, no, it's fine. You know, like trying to give the whole, like, because it really, I'm like, it's liquor,
right?
It's beer, or it's booze. Yeah. I don't care. I'm going to drink it one way or the other. I don't really feel like, you know, you don't have to go back out there. So I like pound these things.
Yeah.
And I haven't drank a mimosa on a flight in probably ever.
Right, right.
So, you know, and I'm looking at the alcohol by volume on the champagne, and it's like 11 or 12%.
Oh, yeah, that's even on the low side.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh. And so I just kind of like pour a little bit of champagne in there, or pour a little bit of orange juice, and then just pound them. Like, I mean, like shot them.
Yeah.
Almost like shooting like tequila. So they were gone by the time she came back.
With your Blue Moons?
She came back with three more Blue Moons.
Nice.
It was magical, and then we got stuck.
So great.
And then we got stuck in San Jose traffic for like 3 hours.
Oh my God!
Trying to get down to Monterey.
Were you dying?
I know it's like a first world problem, but it was just like, oh my God, what a nightmare.
Well, our friends over at Aces and Ales do a bottomless mimosa brunch.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember.
And it's so great because Kim, who works behind the bar there, she's the best. She'll just pour the big glass of champagne, and then she puts like this little tiny. Like, if you took a juice carafe and, like, made it, like, shrunk it.
Yeah.
With, like, this guava nectar they have that's so good. And she goes, I don't even mix yours. Just fill it up, and then you put however much you want in. And then I just go, boop.
Like, just a little dab.
It's, like, this slight, tiny, little purplish sort of haze to it. But it's awesome. Try guava juice in your champagne.
I'm traditionally, again, going back to the acidic thing, I'm traditionally not, like, I finished three bottles with one can of orange juice, not even a whole can. I think I drank half a can of orange juice. But it went down. I was surprised. I'm like, I mean, like when you're thinking about just pure liquid on a flight versus, you know, like what you want to do if you don't feel like doing shots or something like that. Like, I'm like, this is a pretty good way to go. So you're not getting up and using the restroom like every like 38 minutes.
Yes. You know what I've noticed in some, Charlotte is a perfect example of this. What I love that's popping up in airports now is there'll be like a craft beer bar of all local taps.
Oh yeah, St. Louis kind of has one of those too.
It's awesome. I think every city should.
I mean,
do
it's
that.
All Anheuser-Busch,
right? Yeah, right. Yeah. It's called Ruby Tuesdays. It's called Applebee's at the airport.
It's a Chili's to go.
To go. I know. I saw the Chili's commercial the other day. It was like Chili's delivers. I was like, dang. And then it was like DoorDash or something. But anyway, I love that they're doing that because then you go in there and you're like, especially if it's a layover, right?
Oh,
and you're in a new city. And so then you're like, wow, I'm going to try all these different beers from all these different breweries in town, and I don't have to move my ass off this bar stool.
I don't know why there are airports out there that don't have like a decent craft beer bar or at least a decent craft beer selection in your airport, because everybody, that's like, there's so many craft beer nuts out there who just like, we seek that out.
Yeah.
Like I want to go immediately and find that place and go. And if I know it's going to be there, like that's a place I'll definitely like book
go
a layover.
Back to. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Do you ever do this when you're approaching the airport bar that you've already narrowed, that you've seen your choices and you said, okay, I think I'm going to go back to choice number two that looked the best.
Yeah.
And then you're walking back and you see the elusive chair that's open. The one chair that's open. And if it's on the end where you're like, oh my God, I'm going to have so much room for my suitcase. And you just kind of like, how fast do I run to this chair? What if someone comes up and then you eye someone who might be eyeing it too? And you're just like,
you got to fight them.
I'm going to
TSA jail now.
Right now. That's my stool, bitch.
Bitch.
And so I always do that. And then I'm just starting to like walk faster and faster and faster. And then sometimes I've even hustled so far that it looks like I'm pretending to be late for a flight.
Ooh.
But really, I'm just going to the bar stool.
I like it. I like it.
Because that's premium real estate.
Oh, for sure. Especially like.
Like, why don't they have an airport restaurants take the restaurant size down to about 20% and make the bar size 80%?
And that's what, because most of these people are eating at the bars anyway.
Because it's faster service.
Yes. If you're going into a place like that, most likely it's either one or two people.
Yeah.
And if it's more than that, for whatever reason, you're probably all sitting at the bar.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm with you. Like, it feels like it's poor planning.
Yeah.
The Orlando airport does a pretty good job with that. Like, they have a ton of bar seating down at the Orlando airport.
That's because they know that people have been with their kids for 4 days and they want to get wasted.
My go-to at McCarran, though, is in the Seagates.
Uh-huh.
So Terminal 1, or is it Terminal 2, whatever. But it's where the Seagates are.
Yeah.
You know, in the back corner. So if you're like going down towards the end of the sea gates, like that, there's like a there's no seats though.
Yeah.
But there's usually never a big wait, and they have a pretty good craft beer selection.
Really?
Over, I mean, it's not great, but you can get a good hazy IPA. You can get, they've got some good stuff over there.
I don't know if I've been to that one.
Yeah. I was over there when we flew out, when we flew out to Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
We camped out right there and ended up running into some coworkers and stuff like that. I'm like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's Thursday. At noon.
Right.
What are you doing here?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I know. It's but that, and there's that one in T3 that's like a brewery and chop house, but it's not really a brewery.
Is that, see, I never fly at it. See, I'm always, like I said, up Southwest, so I'm always in like
right. The
Seagates like 90% of the time.
T3 has JetBlue and Virgin America. So that's where.
And is that the one that, what is that Minnesota one?
Huh.
I can't, there's some Minnesota one that my wife always flies. Then I always pick her up at T3.
Frontier or something?
Not Frontier. Sun Country. Sun Country.
Is that real?
That's a real thing. Sun Country is like a Minnesota-based airline.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it safe?
It's better than Allegiant.
Right. Or like Spirit.
Spirit I don't hate. I feel like Spirit gets a bad rap. And Dave always craps on Spirit. And I'll tell you, the Spirit is late. But as far as the flying experience goes...
Right.
If you do, like, they have, like, an all-in package, like,
right.
So you don't get nickeled and dimed, and it still comes out to being cheaper than what you would fly if you're flying Southwest, or even, like, it's the same as basically Frontier, but you get a big front seat. They have this thing called, like, the big front seat, which is a much bigger, like, you get way more leg room,
yeah.
And it's way wider. It's like first class on Spirit. Yeah, it's still first class on a Spirit airline,
right.
But your ass doesn't know the difference, and
no.
it's very comfortable, and... If you pay for the like the all-in, like you bring in a couple carry-ons, your bags are checked, all that stuff, and it's a flat fee, and so you don't get nickeled and dimed.
Sure.
So that's what I've done the couple times that I've flown them.
That makes sense.
And it's been okay, but I feel like I understand when people are like, oh, it's a $22 flight, but then they nickel and dime
right.
me everywhere. Yeah, because they charged you $22, and
right.
it probably should be closer to $200.
Yeah, they're just charging you for the fuel.
Yeah.
At that point.
So, but, you know, they want to nickel and dime you at that point, but if you know what you're going to pay, like, here's $180 or $200 to fly to Chicago.
Sure.
Then it's not too bad, considering, that, like I said, the seats, the big front seats
yeah.
are pretty good. I would 100% fly Spirit if it wasn't, like, something I had to be on time for.
But why are they always late? How does an airline consistently late?
That I don't know.
Like, you know how this works, right?
You should.
You get to the... you're being controlled in the air, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, in theory... None of it should be late.
Nothing should be late.
Except for weather. But
how can it always be weather and everybody else is on time, yet you're still late?
Some bullshit.
I mean, it's probably like luggage handlers or something somewhere in the pipeline.
Pay more. Let's get this thing. Oh, wait, then our
ticket price goes up. I'll tell you the one airline outside of Allegiant never to fly.
What?
Never fly Frontier.
Okay,
It's like your ass is sitting on your junior high bleachers.
Oh no.
It's like if you were an adult going to a junior high
game.
Crap game
yeah.
at a gymnasium that just the metal bleachers that your ass just aches.
And then you stand up and your butt bones actually hurt.
Yes, and then it's for like hours and hours. Like we had to fly Frontier once, and it was because my grandma passed on like New Year's Eve
uh-huh.
and like, you know, it was kind of sudden, so
yeah.
we didn't know, and so we had to like book a flight for tomorrow. And
yeah.
as you know, booking a flight for tomorrow
right.
is always, even if you get like the quote-unquote bereavement rates, is still
pricey.
Like
yeah.
unbelievable. So, I mean, even to fly Southwest, it was something like $700 or $800.
Yeah, no, I believe
Because it was literally New Year's Eve,
yeah.
which, by the way, flying out of Las Vegas
yeah.
on New Year's Eve,
freeze.
Nobody is flying out. It was a goat, like we were in T3,
yeah.
and it was like some Walking Dead type stuff.
Yeah.
It was just like there were, because there's enhanced security because it's a holiday
sure.
and it's a big day. So there's like the dudes with like the
AKs,
M16s
yeah.
and stuff
yeah.
like walking around. You're like, oh, dude. But it was like, that's it. And it was like Walking Dead. It was an empty-ass terminal.
That's awesome.
It was bizarre.
And you get to see the fireworks from the air.
If you like take off at midnight.
That's how you do it. No, I'm just kidding.
yeah, we flew out at like 8 a.m. A little off.
Where'd you watch the fireworks from? The Paris? No. From the sky?
From Spirit Airlines.
From space?
From Frontier Airlines.
yeah. New Year's Eve can suck it anyway.
Yeah, never. Like, somebody asked me, like, hey, would you, like, want to go do a broadcast, like, team up with one of the TV stations and go do a broadcast on New Year's Eve? I'm like, nope.
Absolutely not.
There is not enough money in the world for me to go down to the Strip on New Year's Eve.
Or
I'm
leave
sorry.
My house at all.
Yeah, my house is going to burn down because all the idiots around me are shooting off fireworks. But they asked me, and I'm like, nah, man, I'm not allowed on TV. I'm like, can't do it. Can't do it. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be a lovely, great broadcast. But
but
just
hard pass.
Hard pass. Hard pass on going down to the Strip on New Year's Eve. Like, maybe if I was 15 years younger.
Not even then.
Even, and I was single, and there was, like, some hot chick who had, like, the freest beer ever.
They paid you to
drink it. Yeah, they paid me, and there was nothing but free beer. I haven't done a New Year's Eve event in probably about a decade. I did a strip club. I did the Crazy Horse 3 on New Year's Eve, like 2009, maybe 2010. So it's been a long minute. But then somebody asked me, like, hey, what's your New Year's Eve rate? I'm like, it's literally six times what my normal rate is. And I'm like, just saying that just to, like, throw it out there. And they're like, nah. And they're like, yeah, we'll pay it. And I'm like, well, okay. It's not on the Strip per se. It's just near. It's exactly. A strip adjacent.
Strip adjacent. Strip,
which it actually wasn't too bad. I will say, all things considered, strip club on New Year's Eve wasn't as bad as you would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, you're inside.
Yeah.
Boobies.
Yeah, it's boobs.
You know, I read something that about pickpockets from, like, all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas New Year's Eve is, like, their mecca.
Oh, I believe it.
So they were interviewing this guy. And he was a pickpocket, like, that's what he does. And he's like, oh, yeah, people come from all over the country because this is, like, the easiest job ever. And they said, how much do you make on a typical New Year's Eve in Vegas? $10,000.
Wow.
He's like, everyone's wasted.
Yep.
Everyone has hundreds falling out of their pockets.
Uh-huh.
No one knows their ass from their head. They all are, like, going so ham on just getting wasted that they're just like and have no bearings about, like,
well, and there's so many people down there that you know, bodies are rubbing up against you left and right.
Sounds like hell on earth.
Yes, yes, never.
Drunk, piss, puke, gross.
Yeah, and then there's always somebody walking around without their shoes on.
And here's the problem:
you're like, you're walking in the middle of Las Vegas Boulevard without shoes on.
Do you
That's
know
how you
what
get
this,
AIDS?
This, literally. Do you know what this sidewalk is marinated in? The piss and puke of millions.
Yeah.
Of people from Ohio and various other Midwestern cities. No, but I think about that. I'm like, but it's our fault. We invite him to come do it.
Yeah.
Come piss all over our city.
Yeah.
Puke wherever you want.
Wherever you want. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Put 20 more into Wolf Run, would you?
I'm more of a Buffalo.
The Buffalo Wild Buffalo? Whatever.
Yeah, whatever that's called.
I don't think I've played that one. I like Wolf Run because they howls.
Okay.
And then if you've had enough drinks and you win, you howl along with it.
Oh, damn.
Anyway, I digress.
Willy Wonka, also the worst money suck of all time.
It's the song.
I'll tell you one not to play. The Goonies.
Why?
The bonus games? Garbage.
Oh, the one you have to play the skull fingers?
Yeah,
that's
it's
garbage.
It's just garbage. I was like, oh, dude, a Goonies one. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. And then I got to playing it, and I'm like, you know, you play it until you get, like, a bonus round because you want to see what the bonus round's all about. And you're like, this is just pure, unadulterated garbage.
And I think
you should be ashamed.
I only choose my slot machines if they are based off of a TV show, a movie, or an entertainer.
The Monty Python one, I will say.
That's a good one.
Very good one.
Hangover's a good one.
Dumb and Dumber, eh.
Haven't played it.
Dumb and Dumber. There's very few Dumb and Dumber slot machines left.
Yeah, I haven't played that one. But I like Hangover.
Sex and the City? Okay.
I love Sex and the City.
Even though it's, like, so old school.
It's an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, I would say that was one of the original, I would say, like,
yes.
Where we're incorporating a television show into a slot machine.
Definitely.
Wheel of Fortune. I mean, Wheel of Fortune
is a
classic.
It's a classic. It's the first thing I ever won on.
Was it?
Second day I lived in Las Vegas, I won $1,000 on Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, it ruined you.
I was like, oh my God, this just paid my rent. This is the best city ever. Anything else I do this whole month is gravy. And I was so broke when I
did
came
you,
out here.
Did you end up gambling more of it, or did you actually put that towards your rent?
I was broke.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I put it towards my rent.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And then I hit like $500 like 3 days later on Wheel of Fortune. And I was like, I can't lose. This city's fucked. I'm going to take it all. And that was approximately $47,000 ago.
That's why I don't keep. That's why I don't use the cards. I don't want to keep track.
No,
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. All right. Well, we're finishing up the Avery Brewing Company's hazy-ish IPA. We've got another beer for you. We'll take a brief pause, and you will hear us in 1 second. And through the magic of the internet, we are back, and we have what are those things called? We're going to amend this. Amendment? We've got an amendment?
An addendum?
An addendum?
An amendment.
We've got an amendment.
I think they're both.
To the Beer for Breakfast podcast, because we thought we were going to be drinking a beer from our good friends down there at Modern Times, one of their Nitro Brew Black House coffee stouts. Turns out it's just the coffee.
Yeah. So that was pretty great. Jason hands it to me and goes, here's that Nitro. And I said, oh, this is coffee. He goes, yeah, exactly. It's a coffee. It's a
Nitro coffee stuff. Yeah, the Black House.
No, see right here where it says coffee and water.
Yeah. See, I was looking on the back and it was like, it said 10%, but it was like 10% Ethiopian. Like it was a 10% Ethiopian roast.
I'm not familiar with those hops. I didn't know Ethiopia was known for hops.
Well, you know, they're mixing things up these days.
Ooh, what is this, a Sumatra hop?
That's right. That's right. So instead of our friends down there at Modern Times, we've got a new seasonal release and one of the barrel age releases from our friends over there at Founders, the Underground Mountain Brown. And Pam and I were doing our best to try to find out where the ABV was on this particular beer. And it's on the back and it's so faint. It's like 11.9% ABV on this, going from a 7%er to a 11%er. We're just going to get that. My Lucha Libre bottle opener.
I like that thing. Coincidentally, this is a brown ale brewed with Sumatra coffee.
There you go.
And then aged in bourbon barrels, which more and more.
Everybody's doing that these days.
Yeah, but I am mad at it.
No, I think it's great. I think that there's. I just bought a scotch that is aged in whiskey and bourbon barrels.
Interesting.
So, the Balvini, or however you want to say that. I bought the 17-year.
Nice.
And it's double-aged, and one in port and the other one in, bourbon barrel. Nice. So nice. I was like, all right.
I was looking over at your whiskeys, and I saw that John J. Bowman, and I swear to God, I thought it said Jason Bateman.
I mean, if Jason Bateman made a bourbon, I would give it a...
I would buy it if it was called Ozark Moonshine.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's such a good show.
Bateman, I would say, we're in a renaissance.
Oh, he's living his best life.
I mean, he is a far cry from Teen Wolf 2.
Yeah, also a classic. However,
but
I know,
very different. He's evolved.
Jason Bateman also played the bad influence friend of Ricky Schroeder on Silver Spoons.
Ah, I was never a Silver Spoons guy.
What?
Yeah, it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't my thing.
You were too young for it.
I mean, it was there, but he
had a train at his house.
I like Family Ties. I like Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Like I said, that's what I was, Alex B. Keaton, man.
Yeah. Mallory, I always thought she had cool hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what was the other one?
Tina Yothers was her real name, but I can't remember her name in the show.
Outside of Family Ties, but there was the other one. What was the other
Facts
one?
Facts Alive?
Facts Alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
George Clooney was on that.
With his sweet-ass permed mullet.
Sweet-ass permed mullet.
He was on Golden Girls, too.
Yeah.
He did quite a bit before the ER launched him into the stratosphere. The best thing he ever did was get a haircut.
Yes, absolutely.
Because absolutely. The Caesar haircut that he got back in the late 90s just changed the game.
Changed the game. Also, Growing Pains.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Pitt was on Growing Pains.
I did not know that.
As was Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay.
Who had a recurring role as a troubled skateboarding teen.
I do. Did they like adopt him or something?
Something
or
like
he was
that.
Like living in their attic? Or...
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And then Kirk Cameron went off his damn mind and he's
like super Jesus.
Yeah. Now all he makes is if it doesn't have Jesus in the title, he's not making that movie.
Yeah, but I think he went like hardcore that. There was a situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he is a zealot.
You know, Marcus, our buddy Mark.
Yeah.
Refuses to watch anything that has Ricky Schroeder in it.
Why is that?
Do you really not know this story?
I don't know this story about Ricky Schroeder.
Oh, my God.
So why is he boycotting all of the Ricky Schroeder?
And has since he was a teenager.
Okay, so this goes way back.
Way back. Okay. So he was at, he was working at like the Flamingo Pool or something. This is a friend of ours who's born and raised here. And like his girlfriend, he had a girlfriend. He was like 16 maybe, you know. And his girlfriend was hanging out with her friends, and everyone snuck beers in. And, of course, he was, like, the lifeguard or whatever he's working, so he just didn't, you know, pretended not to notice it and whatever. And so they're like, okay, well, we're going to hang out. He's like, all right, well, I'm going to go home. Like, are we still going out tonight? They were going on, like, an actual date.
Okay.
And she's like, yeah. And so, you know, there were no cell phones then. So he's like, okay, I'll be at your house at whatever time. So he goes over to her house, and she's not there. And his mom or her mom was like, yeah, I haven't, she hasn't been here. Were you supposed to, you know, go out? And he said, yeah. She's like, well, come on in. I'm sure she'll be here any minute, right? Waits and waits and waits. No calls. Like an hour, 2 hours. He's sitting with the mom and is finally like, now the mom's worried.
Yeah.
Anyway, she comes in through the door and she's hammered.
Oh,
right?
Boy.
And so he's just like, oh, boy, right? And her mom's mad and she's like, ah. So Mark, like, they just walk up to the girl's room, and she just starts bursting into tears. And he was like, we were so worried about you. Like, we didn't know what was going on, you know? Like, this is, you can't get all drunk like this. And blah, blah, blah.
It's dangerous,
It's dangerous. She goes, I feel so bad I have to break up with you. And he was like, why are you breaking? No, it's okay. Like, I mean, you don't have to break up. She's like, no, we got really drunk, and I totally had sex with Ricky Schroeder. Because Ricky Schroeder showed up at the pool and was talking to all these girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went to his room. And,
oh, no.
And she's like, I had sex with Ricky Schroeder. And Mark's like, I haven't even had sex with her yet.
The hell?
And so now from this, so she broke up with him because she was unfaithful on him with Ricky Schroeder.
What a, Ricky Schroeder.
When he was on NYPD Blue, I go, did you watch that? He goes, hell no. That bitch stole my girl.
I mean, I like that he's stuck to his guns.
Yeah. And Ricky Schroeder went all super religious, too.
Did he?
I think he went, like, super Mormon.
Okay.
Like, bought a ranch in Utah, Mormon, stuff like that.
I mean, that's, yeah. I mean, if you're going to buy a ranch in Utah.
You know, I'd love a ranch in Utah without all the rules.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, just give me the beautiful country.
Yeah.
I just don't want to have to follow any of the, I don't want to have to follow any extra rules.
Like, I don't need a sponsor a bar.
We've got extra, you have to have a sponsor to get into a bar?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, you have to walk in there, and if you walk into a bar, you've never been to a bar in Utah?
No.
Okay, when you walk in, they say, you need a sponsor, so someone who is at the bar already, and then they'll just be like, just point to anybody, and you're like, that guy? And they're like, okay, Chris, you're her sponsor, okay. And then you pay, like, $4 to get that sponsor, and then they take the $4 off your bill for food, not for booze.
Okay.
So you get your money back, kind of. Because
maybe
you weren't going to order food, but now you're like, well, what do you have for $5, you know, or whatever it is? You can at least get your $4 back. But yeah, you have to, like, and then you have to fill out a piece of paper, like, I, Pam, am at this bar on this date.
I don't like that.
I don't like that either.
Mm-hmm. I don't want you keeping track of me.
Get out my business.
Yeah.
Get out my business.
Do I got to write down every beer that I drank too?
Yeah. Because I'm going to need more pages than this.
Yeah. And that's near beer garbage.
Get ready.
Yeah, the 3-2 or whatever it is. Ugh.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's when I was driving out here to move to Vegas, we stopped, one of my girlfriends and I, she drove out with me. And we stopped in, we were in Utah, and we're like going back to the hotel, and I was like, well, let's stop at the grocery store and get some wine and stuff and bring back to the room so we have something to drink. So we go in there, it was like 7:15, and we go to check out, and they're like, oh, we can't sell you this. We're like, huh? She's like, it's after 7. And I was like, after 7? I go, and I don't know why this came to my mind immediately. I go, what if you're having a dinner party and you run out of wine? You got to come down here and buy more. She goes,
after 7.
After 7. I was like, that is fucked up.
Your party is done, Pam.
So it's almost like a secret ruse for you just to buy like a case of wine rather than a couple bottles.
I mean, as an adult, it doesn't like mess with you very often, you know, because, you know, we're well stocked in all of our booze. We've got more booze than we know what to do with. But like,
not me right now.
Really?
Not me right now. In fact, the other day, I was looking in my fridge and I was like, I don't have anything. I just wanted a beer. And then you find that rogue beer that's like tucked behind the cottage cheese or something.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh, my girl, looking out. Who's looking out for who?
I mean, it's malty as hell, but whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever. It's still going to drink.
Whatever.
Still going to drink.
You ever do shower beers on vacation?
Not really. Because when I go on vacation, I usually don't. Like, if I go on vacation with my wife, I don't drink a whole lot.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't drink. So it's not fun for me to be drunk,
right,
and her be sober.
Sure.
You know, so it's like, I don't want to have to deal with, you know, like the repercussions of me being super drunk and her being super sober and annoyed with me while on vacation. So I don't do.
So you just do weekend shower beers.
Occasionally. I do the shower beers occasionally.
Yeah.
But
I like it on a, especially if there's an outdoor shower.
The reason I'm a night shower though. I like to shower before bed. I like getting into bed when I'm clean.
Right. No, I'm a morning shower because I can't wake up without it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I can't do it. But an outdoor shower always deserves a beer.
An outdoor shower, beautiful. I mean, like if you're going to visit like Zion Mountain Ranch over in, you know, Utah, like I said, that's the only kind of the only real experience I've had with Utah. I mean, St. George and that sort of thing, but like Zion is kind of like
gorgeous.
Yeah, where I've been most of the time, but they have the most of the places there aren't just like straight bars. They're like, they have food and then there's like beer there, but like no hard liquor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got to like drive to the state run store for the hard liquor or something like that.
We used to have to do that in Virginia. They didn't have it at grocery stores.
Really?
Yeah. Just beer and wine at grocery stores.
Nevada does it better than anybody.
Absolutely.
Like the fact that like we can go to the grocery store and get beer
at
any
first time I walked in the grocery store here and I saw like vodka, I was like, what? And I can purchase this 24 hours a day or 7 days a week? Because you couldn't buy hard liquor on Sundays in Virginia.
Which means Saturday night at midnight.
That's exactly what that means.
Yep.
No, but not even because the ABC stores would close at 8 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
See, those were problems we ran into like in Missouri because same thing, similar, like no beer on Sundays.
Yeah.
And they would stop selling at midnight, but you could buy... But you could still be at bars past midnight on Saturday.
Well, you could be at bars, but you couldn't serve any alcohol past 1 o'clock, period.
Really?
Yeah. So the last call was like literally last call.
So the way it was in Missouri and St. Louis in particular, so the county shut down at 1:30.
Yep.
The city shut down at 3 o'clock, and then you can drive across the bridge into Illinois, southern Illinois, into Sauget, Illinois. Then there was a club that shut down at 5 a.m. And then there was one place that was 24 hours called Pops.
Nice.
And that was the only place that would serve 24/7.
Yeah.
Somehow they got it. They got grandfathered in. But it was the like creepiest. Like you go outside this little compound. There's two. There's a bar, Pops, two strip clubs, Diamonds and PTs. And then there was the Oz, which was the strip or the nightclub there. And if you go outside of there, it is sketchy as hell. Like you're gonna get robbed immediately.
That sounds to me like that's the stuff that's usually around like a military base.
Yeah,
like there's always just like some seedy bars, couple strip clubs, and then like a grocery store.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they always get further and further and further out, which it's the worst thing ever because all it does, like back then, it's like everybody, like you knew if somebody was driving like driving westbound on a highway at like 3 a.m., you knew they were drunk.
Period.
Like, you knew, because everybody was like, everybody drives east, goes east for, you know, to get the later last call.
Yeah.
But everybody, like, even last call comes, everybody slams a bunch of drinks, and then goes to the next place.
Yeah. That's what I hated about bartending at last call, because everyone orders just like
a thousand drinks,
right? And they're going to tip you the same as if you poured them one.
Yeah.
So you're just like, oh, great. Now I got this huge rush right at the end when I want to tell everyone to F off and get out of here
because
I'm done. And then it's like, oh, sure, let me make you five, you know, redheaded sluts or whatever.
Nazi from hell.
Yeah.
I don't miss that. That's the one thing, because I feel like it just leads to more drunk driving. It leads to more accidents, things like that. Whereas you have a thing like we have here in Nevada where it's just like you can – you know, you're not going to get kicked out. You're done drinking, and it's okay. It's 1 a.m. Well, I'm going to have some food now. I'm going to sit around. I'm going to listen to the music, play some Keno, and sober up some.
Yeah, totally. And I love when, like, towards the end of the night or even when you're just, like, super stacked busy bartending, and then you get some chick or some dude who's like, I want a Q-Bert, Pac-Man, Jones, and you're like, what color is it? And they're like, blue. I'm like, okay, I'll be right back. And then they just make whatever.
Yeah, like rum and blue, curacao.
Yeah, and like put a splash of Malibu in it, call it a day.
Yeah, maybe I was going to say some pineapple.
Yeah, whatever. If a chick orders anything, I just make it
Malibu
and red.
Yeah, I would say Malibu and cranberry.
Yeah, done.
And maybe a drop of grenadine.
And if they go, I don't think this is how they usually make it, I usually go, oh, that's how we make it here. Sorry.
I love it. And well, we've digressed from our beer of the moment. I feel like,
I think it's okay because I'd like to have this a little warmer.
Yeah,
I think.
I'm not mad at this. This is this wasn't freezing cold. I picked up the beer before the podcast, so I don't think this one didn't reach the ice cold depths of my refrigerator.
Right.
So, but the Underground Mountain Brown from Founders always does a good job.
They really do. Cheers.
See how this goes.
I feel so much safer without a board in front of us.
Yeah,
at the station.
To spill, a beer on a $30,000 control board. Yeah.
My favorite thing to see on that is fantastic. I mean, that is like, so good.
Woo!
I mean, you taste the bourbon, but it's not crazy.
No, I mean for damn near 12%, but I mean the brown definitely. It's like there's like a almost like not a maple.
It's almost like it tastes like chocolate. Milk, but not chocolate. I don't know.
There's a definite chocolate flavor
like
in there.
The coffee has a chocolateness to it.
But there is definitely, I mean, the sweetness in there.
Yeah.
That is really permeating through. That blends well with the bourbon barrel. I mean,
so and you know what I like to see is you don't often see browns aged.
Yeah.
It's always a stout or a porter or whatever. And that on that point, I don't see very many porters anymore.
Very rarely do I see porters anymore.
I love a porter.
They used to be big.
Yeah, totally.
Don't even make theirs anymore? Like, I don't know.
I mean, I feel like they would.
Probably. I just don't see it at the stores anymore.
Yeah. No, I remember, like, when porters came out, like the Sam Smith porters.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when Sam Smith's was, like, the fanciest beer you could buy. It's still great.
It is a classic.
It's
that is
so
one
good.
Of the beers that, one of the early craft beers that, you were able to get your hands on that was, widely distributed all across the country. And you were like, ooh, this thing's got gold foil on it. Girl, you
this
know.
This was $4.99.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in 1999.
And it's still like $4.99. I would say still held its price point pretty well over the last few years.
Yeah, I was going through like purging stuff. Because then I realized I have like 9,000 pint glasses and it's just out of control, right? So you keep the ones that you like, your favorite breweries, or but you get rid of, like my David Mahoney ones are gone.
Definitely, just get rid
of the first
those.
One's out, and then
just toss them. Just don't even.
No, you had some good, nice, good tall pine ones.
Yeah, we had some good glassware made over the years.
Yeah, for sure. But you keep the sentimental ones, like somebody's wedding, or which I love because every single time I take out my Brock and Janelle 2004, I always think, I wonder how they're doing.
Yeah.
And it works.
What happens if they get divorced, though?
Well, I don't know. I got a glass.
But do you keep the glass?
Yeah.
Or is that a bad
old? The good times.
You remember the good times?
Yeah.
Okay.
You
Fair
think
enough.
Of the good times. No, but so I'm just like getting rid of all this stuff. And I'm thinking like, I only have pint glasses. I need to up my glassware. Like, get a glass for stouts. Get a glass for porters.
My shelf space in my kitchen prevents from that. Like, I've only got like two shelves in there. Everything else is dry goods and things like that.
Yeah.
So like my glassware is mostly pint glasses. And
do you have a pantry?
We do, but it's not that thing's for everything, more dry goods and things of that nature. So like we don't really have a whole lot of cabinet space for beer glasses. So I stick with most, I've got mugs, pint glasses, and I've got rocks glasses for my whiskey.
Yeah.
So, I would love to have the tall Weizen glasses and, I've got a snifter, I think I've got one snifter in there.
Yeah.
But like outside of that, like I don't have like all the proper glassware for the beers just because I don't have the room for it. It's just not practical for us.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
I would like to have it though. And I feel like that's a great gift to get somebody.
Totally.
Like if you're a good beer, if you know somebody's a craft beer fan, glassware or even like just good glassware is always
like a nice Riedel wine glass.
Like if they like whiskey, like I've been looking at the Waterford Crystal. There's a lot of really good glassware that like you really impress people when they come over if you've got really good glassware.
I agree. And mine, yeah, that's why I got rid of all the ones that were, I mean, literally, I'm looking, I was like, apparently I've been to 67 Big Dogs Beer Fests.
Yeah, I've got a lot of beer dog Big Dogs glasses. I've got a lot of Craft House glasses. I've got a lot of Aces and Ales glasses.
Yep, totally.
You know, I mean, the places that, like, that's the problem. Like, I don't need 48 glasses.
Right.
That's the only problem.
Until you go, where are my glasses go? And then you open, that's one of the saddest things. When I look at my dishwasher and I open the dishwasher, and there's like 50 glasses and like two plates. And I'm like, you really should eat at home more.
You know, I don't know when the last time I ate at home was.
I've been doing it because I bought an appliance that's changed my life.
What appliance is that?
It's the Philips smokeless indoor grill.
What?
Yes. So I'm in a condo.
Okay.
So I can't have a grill
yeah.
outside, which sucks.
That does suck.
Because I love grilling stuff.
Yeah.
So every time I go over to my friend's house, I'm like, I'm just going to bring some chicken over and just knock it out real quick on your grill. You know, just because it's a different flavor,
and
you know?
Plus you can't do it.
What? Because I can't do it. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I mean. So it's like if everyone's like, we're having a barbecue, I'm like, I race over there. But I got this thing. So I read about it. It was on Oprah's Favorite Things.
Okay.
And I thought, well, she can't be wrong.
You think Oprah actually uses this thing?
Yeah, I think she does because she grills chicken.
But is she? I mean, really? That's why I think like
she
Oprah.
I picture she and Stedman just sitting around grilling up some chicken.
How much does this thing cost?
$160.
I think Oprah's using something that costs $160. Which for you and I, that's, you know, for an appliance, definitely not cheap.
Probably hand soap or something.
A single bath bomb.
One bath bomb.
One bath bomb.
Made of dolphin tears. But so I was like, oh, I'll give it a shot. And I read all the reviews and everyone's like, this is the jam, right? It's the greatest thing on planet Earth. Sear mark. Okay, so it's electric. So it's infrared. So when you turn it on, it just turns like bright red, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let it get pretty, pretty hot. It grills perfectly. Grill marks taste like grilled.
Really?
Yes. Easy cleanup.
It's not like a bootleg. It's like because George Foreman
no,
sucked.
No. The George Foreman sucks.
It was awful.
It's not that slant, which I never understand. I get it to run the fat off, but no. This just drops straight down. It's fantastic.
Okay.
I highly recommend it.
Can you cook grilled cheese on there?
You can do whatever you want on there. Grilled veggies. I do veggies.
Grilled veggies? Kebabs?
Kebabs. Yeah, because the slats are pretty close together, so nothing's falling through.
Okay.
You know? It's the jam.
Really?
If you are in a place that you cannot grill, like a condo and or apartment.
Or I'm just lazy. I don't want to have to, like, my only thing with grills is, like, I don't want to have to clean it.
Well, that's the beauty of this. You literally pull the top off of it, and you just wash it in your sink.
Just hose it down?
Yeah. And it's all, like, non-stick, and it just comes right off.
Yeah.
And then you pull the tray out with all your drippings, and then
you make gravy?
When life gives you drippings, you make gravy.
That's right. Man, I ate some gravy the other day that I was blown away by.
Yeah.
So we went to I got a buddy who's in radio who's getting married here in Las Vegas next year.
Uh-huh.
And he asked me to scout out a place for him. And because they just, you know, they're staying at the Palms and they're going to do a couple days there. So he asked me to check out the buffet. And I'm like, I've never eaten at the buffet at the Palms. I'm like, I didn't even really think that. Do they even have a buffet?
Yeah.
They do.
Is it new and improved since they redid the place?
It is new. It is new and it is pretty good.
Yeah.
It was like $13. And that's like with the stations card. I bought everybody.
Oh,
it was like
$45.
I was like, oh, damn, this is pretty, pretty reasonable. So we all go in there and their mashed potatoes and gravy, like it was like a dark gravy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was
so good.
All I wanted to eat was mashed potatoes and gravy. Like,
that's pretty much all I want to eat for the rest of my life, but that's a whole nother story.
That's like, just keep this coming. Like, I don't need to eat anything else. Let me just come into this gravy and these mashed potatoes and I will be happy.
That's what I get when it's good gravy, then you just put it on everything.
Put
it on your veggies. You put it on.
I got some sausage and I put it on there.
Oh, yeah.
I had a chicken pot pie and actually mixed it with the chicken pot
pie.
Genius.
Genius.
And that was legit. Everything was pretty good. I even went for, just because, like I said, I was doing a review for a buddy to give him like a real review of this place. I want to like check everything out, even stuff I normally wouldn't eat.
Yeah.
So I ate like buffet sushi.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't awful.
Really?
Wasn't awful. Yeah. Their meats were all pretty good. Their desserts were really good.
See, that's my problem
pizza
is...
Pizza was garbage, but I mean...
There's no buffet pizza that's good.
I've never seen a buffet pizza that is good.
Ever?
Anywhere.
Never. Even when I went to the Bacchanal thing.
I wish they would just use like Tostino's party pizzas. Like, just throw those out there. Those are good.
They're delicious.
Those are legit. $1.
But done, and I like the fact that they've reduced their packaging.
Yeah. They have.
Because it's just in a plastic sack.
God, I haven't had a party pizza in like a couple of years, but
it sounds so good right now.
All I want to do is eat a Tostino's party pizza right now. Right. Can we Postmates a Tostino's party pizza? I know it's a $1 item, but it's going to cost us $48 to get it over here, but it'll be worth it.
Let's go crazy and get two. Okay, $2. Mm-hmm. But no, yeah, so that's garbage. But I went to that Bacchanal at Caesars, right?
Caesars
is
legit.
That's the jam. However, not my jam because, and I see the value in it, but I'm allergic to seafood.
It's expensive.
It's very expensive.
It was like $60.
It's something like even.
Maybe even higher.
It's even higher. And we ended up getting like some passes for it or something. I don't know.
Because they have crab legs, they have shrimp.
It's 80% seafood.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm like, I get it. If I could eat seafood, I would be destroying these crab legs. Because they had big, giant Alaskan king crab legs and stuff like that. But I'm like standing over there by the, you know, the wok place going, oh, put some carrots in there and some beef.
Maybe some roast beef.
Yeah. And then even that, I'm like, you know. So I always feel like I just get like some really shitty Mexican stuff and some shitty Chinese stuff. Yeah. And then I make the mistake and I go to a salad bar because I love a salad bar.
Oh, don't do that.
Yes, terrible.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. Because there aren't enough salad bars in this town. That is a fact. And I don't like sweet tomatoes and shit like that because they rush you through.
Do they? I've never been to a sweet tomatoes. I've been to a Zupa. Zupa seems nice, right?
Do they have a salad bar?
I don't know if they have a salad
bar. No, I think you just buy their salads.
Okay.
But at sweet tomatoes, it's like you're in a cafeteria line, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't stand there and go, maybe a little bit of this, maybe a little bit of that. I used to like Glazier's had a salad bar,
but it wasn't a cafeteria. You're getting rushed or shanked from the back.
No, you
if you're not moving fast enough,
take your time. Also, Sweet Tomatoes has too many pre-made salads in their salad bar.
Yeah,
like just give me cucumbers, and it's not by weight because that's where I get messed up on salad bars because I like cottage cheese.
Okay,
so one scoop of cottage cheese salad bar land costs you as much as an entire container.
What?
Because they do it by weight, and it's heavy.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't eat salads, so this is a world that I don't have any.
Oh,
don't
eat lettuce, right?
I don't eat lettuce. Yeah. I have no knowledge. I have no firsthand knowledge of how these salad bars work. I will say the salad bar at the Palms Casino looked pretty good. I didn't. They had some rolls and stuff over there, which I grabbed, which were pretty good. But the salad bar looked pretty good. I would say all in all for $13, pretty damn good deal. But I could not recommend it to him, like, because he's a foodie, and I'm like, this is good for like $13.
Yeah,
but I don't know if it's good.
Like, go to the movies there and then have it after.
Yeah, I mean, because like I could easily spend like $15 at McDonald's.
Yeah,
like, and it was way better than a fast food meal.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
Sure.
But like, if you're like a hardcore foodie and you're going to be doing like a wedding, there, I was hard pressed to recommend that. Also, one of the most hilarious things happened is because it was Bossy Rossi and myself and another one of our friends from work who came with us to there, and one of our friends from work that was not Bossy Rossi ate some gelato, and he is lactose intolerant apparently.
No.
We're driving back to the radio station.
I gotta know who it is.
In Bossy Rossi's car, and he is keeled over in the backseat yelling, oh my god, you gotta stop, guys. You gotta find a Starbucks. It's ridiculous. This is not. Oh my god! I'm gonna crap my pants. And he was going on. We're just laughing. We're laughing.
Did
we're
you
like,
stop?
We weren't gonna stop at first, but by the time
it became serious.
By the time we got to like DI, or excuse me, by the time we got to like Tropicana and Decatur, it was like at like DEFCON 10. Like, it was, and he's yelling. He's like, stop the car! Yeah, like there's a cab in the way. We're like trying to getting him up to the front of the Starbucks. He gets out of Bossy Rossi's car and then like runs into the Starbucks. And I wish I would have videotaped him running. Because it was the greatest.
The butt clench.
Oh my god, it was such a.
Oh, you know what I would have hoped for, just for the comedic perfection of all of it, is if it's one of those Starbucks that you have to ask for the code.
It was.
No.
It was. He had to buy a tea.
No.
He had to buy a tea. He had to buy a
tea.
Did
he poop first, then buy the tea?
Well, so he was like, he bought the tea. He's like, and then ran over. Like, he didn't even pick it up, the tea.
Yeah.
He's like, what's the code? Like, as he's, the guy's like yelling the code, and it's like a 6-digit code. So it's not even like a 3-digit thing. So
that's,
he's like,
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, God. It was, because, you know, that area is not, it's okay, but it's not.
Sure, sure.
You know, there's a decent amount of transients over there. So.
So please tell me who it was.
I'll tell you off air. I'll tell you off air.
Was it?
No, it wasn't. Okay, but I've got audio of it. I didn't take video, but I've got audio of the last minute that we spent together in that car.
You're a good friend. You're a good friend.
I mean, that's what you do. I mean, if you can't laugh at your friend who's about to crap his pants after you just ate at a buffet,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that's not, what is friendship? What, why even like call it a friendship at that point?
It's just not.
It's not.
It's false.
It is. If you don't find that funny, I mean, yes, it's embarrassing, but if you're going to do it, if you're going to crap your pants in front of somebody, may it be your friends.
Please let it be your friends.
Let it be your friends, because, you know, yes, you'll never live it down, but...
But at the same time, you know, you can trust them to run into TJ Maxx and get you some pants.
That's right. I would have easily went in and bought him an extra pair. That's why I always carry an extra pair of boxers in my car at all times.
In case you shit your pants?
Yes. Always.
No,
extra socks, extra boxers.
What, socks? In case shit runs down your leg?
Well, no, just in general. You never know when you need an extra pair of socks. But I'm also thinking about adding a pair of just normal pants in there as well. Because just in case things go really awry, then I've got a spare pair of pants.
You might as well put a trash bag in there too, dude.
Well, yeah, of course. You gotta, like, I used to keep a tarp. You never know when you need a tarp, man.
Oh, my God. For what?
Well, no. I mean, what is it? 2008? New Year's 2008, I was living down in San Diego, and we did this big Christmas show, and I broke my foot, like falling out of the station vehicle. And so I broke my foot, and I still had the whole show to go through.
Yeah.
So I continued to just like drink myself stupid.
It happens.
And the thing is, I ended up, you know, because like I got to do these stage announcements, I got to do these artist interviews, I got to do the broadcast back to the station. And so I'm just drinking my face off.
Yeah.
And it gets ridiculous. And I didn't really eat a whole lot.
Oh.
And I've got this like broken foot, so I'm still hobbling.
Ugh.
And so the night comes to an end, and my buddy, who was the producer of my show at the time, he's there with one of his childhood friends' moms, who's like this La Jolla MILF, freshly divorced. And my buddy's like, he's 24, maybe 23.
This is his friend's mom?
Yeah.
Like, on a date with her?
No, well, not on a date, but she was there. She was there for him. And like, so she definitely wanted to like bang him.
Ew.
And he definitely wanted, like, because she was like, I mean, she's probably 45, 46.
Right.
You know, had a kid.
Still bangable.
Yeah. And he's, you know, like 23, 24.
Right.
But he's in like phenomenal shape. Like,
right.
Just abs for days. He couldn't win with women. And we're like, dude, just shut up and take your shirt off. And, you know, they will flock to you.
Yeah.
Super smart guy. So just kind of socially awkward. Anyway, so I finish up with the night. He's disappears with her and her Escalade. And I'm trying to find my car. And I'm walking around because I'm like, I got to go sleep this thing off. I guess I got to drive to L.A. in the morning to go to K-Rock's Weenie Roast.
Yeah.
And I got to be there. And so I'm like walking around downtown San Diego at, you know, 2 a.m. Actually, a little after 2 a.m. because Slightly Stupid was one of the bands that ended up closing it out for us.
Uh-huh.
And at 2 a.m., they played 2 a.m.
Okay, got
it.
And
we're like drinking Jägermeister and smoking weed on stage before it's legal. And it was just like a shit show. And then it turns into a shit show because as I'm walking around downtown San Diego, my broken foot gets stuck in one of these grates.
Oh, no.
And all my body weight falls on top of it.
Ooh.
So, like, double, like.
Yeah.
And so, like, the impact of my body falling on top of my already broken foot while it's wedged into a grate, I just crap myself. Just. Because it hurts so bad. It hurts so bad.
Were you by yourself?
Oh, yeah. At this point in time, I was, because he had disappeared, and I didn't know where he was. So I'm walking. Well, so I'm walking around downtown, and I don't, because I'm like still kind of new to the city, and I don't really know. I didn't spend a lot of time downtown. So I'm like just looking for my car, and I'm walking around. I'm hobbling around. I shit myself. And like, there's like listeners who are driving around who are like, Mahoney, what are you, all right? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, you want a ride? Get in the car. Come get in the car. And I'm like, I just.
I can't sit down.
And I just shit myself. And I'm like, I can't. So my buddy finally calls me and like he tells me where he's at. And I go to try to find him. And he's with her.
No.
And they're in like her Escalade. And so I'm like, I know my pants are just messed.
Oh my God.
And so they're like, get in the, we'll take you to your car. We'll find you where you are. And so, but
did you have to come clean? Did you just have to say?
Well, I didn't come clean, but I like,
literally,
I was wearing a hoodie. So it's like, I'm like, okay, I don't want to sit on our leather seats.
But you wrapped the hoodie around.
So I wrapped the hoodie around my,
now you had a shitty like hoodie.
I was a freshman in my freshman year of college and hey, I just gained 15 pounds. So you don't see my ass. So I sit down in there. And then after like 3 or 4 minutes, when we're driving around downtown looking for my car.
Did you smell?
Oh, well, they go, like, what's that smell? And I'm like, oh.
I must have stepped in dog shit.
I was so drunk, I couldn't even come up with that good of an excuse. I'm like, I've gotten to I got into a fight with a bum. I'm like, I got into a fight with a bum. And that's, like, we were rolling around. I don't know what happened.
That's such an extravagant lie. I'm like, you shit your pants.
So,
oh, my God.
So we eventually find my car in this parking lot.
Oh, my God.
They drop me off. And then I get out. And they leave. And then so it's, like, just me alone in this parking lot. And so, like, I have a tarp in my trunk in the back of this Hyundai Sonata that I was driving at the time.
Did you wrap yourself up like shit burrito?
Like, I take my pants off, and I take my underwear off, and I just, like, toss them.
Yeah, out the window.
And just, like, they're gone. Yeah. I just throw them in the parking lot. Just, yeah. Just chuck them. And then I wrap myself in the tarp.
Did you have shit all over yourself?
Well, I mean, I used the I used the underwear to, like, kind of, like, do a run by.
Something I shouldn't have said.
So I'm
it's so fucking gross.
I wrap myself in the tarp and I get in the back seat and I sleep there for a couple hours just to like sober up. And I sleep till about like 5 or 6 a.m. And then I'm driving home and I get fucking pulled over.
How have I never heard this story?
I've got a tarp wrapped around me.
Not suspicious at all.
And no, like, no pants on, no. Nothing. And I explained to the cop, I'm like, officer, I slept in my car last night. I shit myself. I'm not wearing pants. I'm just trying to go home and take a shower so I can drive up to L.A. and meet my boss tomorrow in 6 hours in L.A. And so, you know, like.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And that is the greatest of all time.
Yeah. And
what did he say? I'm sorry. And let
he,
you go?
He was like, he could not believe like what was going on. He's just like, get the fuck out of here.
Oh,
just
my
let
God.
Me just let me go.
Yeah,
just let me go.
Absolutely.
No ticket, nothing. Like, it was amazing.
Oh, my God.
But like the one time when I'm driving around, I've got no pants on. I'm wrapped in a tarp.
You know, that guy went back to the station, was like, you're not going to believe this shit. Literally.
And I think I did. I think, like, you know, I work for 91X, you know, like, I do the morning show there. Like, this is, you know, I came from our big show last night and, you know, and he's just like,
my foot's broken.
Yeah. Just like, just get the hell out of here.
Oh my God. That is the greatest ever.
Yeah. And then got home, showered, and then drove my ass up to LA and,
shit free.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, did that and then, slept with my boss's sister that night on Rick Rubin's old couch and. You know, then I was fired a month later. I don't know what happened. I don't know why. Why did I get fired?
Little did she know that her Prince Charming was covered in his own feces simply 12 hours before.
She was with me the night before. She
oh
was
my
with me,
God.
Not when all the stuff went down, but she knew how drunk I was. And it was.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Much like the beer that we're drinking today, the Founders Underground
Mountain
Brown.
A brown ale.
The Underground Mountain Brown. Much better than shitting your pants in San Diego in December.
The Underground Mountain Brown was what was in your underpants.
Oh, I came on, and so then the producer, my buddy at the time who was hooking up with the Cougar, because she just had all this money. And we wrote a song called, and we told the story on the air. The following Monday, because I'm like, how can you not tell this story?
You have to.
Like, even though it involves, like, my boss's sister.
Oh, my God, you have to tell it.
I'm like.
Did you really get fired a month later?
I did get fired. Not for that.
Yeah.
Like, he and I are cool.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
we're,
yeah.
Like, you know, it was my partner and his boss, like,
okay,
the big
yeah.
boss, like,
yeah,
the GM didn't like me. That's one of the reasons why I got fired, but, I mean, or not fired, but
let go?
Laid off. Because the economy was dying and all that stuff. But I mean, it was like they didn't like me. So, like, let's get this drunk asshole out of here. But we wrote a song, and I wish I still had the audio. We called it Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting to Elton John's, to the tune of Elton John's Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting.
That is fantastic. Saturday Night.
Saturday. It's all right for fighting.
Fighting bums. Except Phantom Bums.
I don't know.
Phantom Bums, great band name.
Phantom Bums.
The band name list is off the
chain.
Oh,
my God. So, yeah, that was, I immediately came back and started working at the radio station here.
Oh, my God. That is fantastic.
Shortly thereafter.
The only shit your pants story I ever knew about you was the Zion one.
Yeah, that's another one for another classic. another classic, which is, you know, I blame the lack of gallbladder. I think, you know, those were the early days of without the gallbladder, which I didn't, you know, it's like when you become a new Jedi and you can't control the force.
Yeah. And you're just shit's flying out of swamps.
That's right.
Swamp ass.
That's kind of how it was. I found this new Jedi superpower that just so happened to be out of my ass. It was a really good time.
I love it.
Oh my God.
I love it.
All right, we got to finish this one. Let's take a couple more drinks of this, let's move on to our final beer.
There's another.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course there's. I'm telling you, this I really like.
It's so strong.
It is, but
it's good. It's not like strong like it pushes you off, but it's like, woo, yeah.
I think a lot of times when coffee gets put into beer, it just can be so flavor forward. That's all you taste is the coffee.
It's very flavorful.
But it's like balance
the chocolate at the like yeah. the chocolate like I've burped a couple times and it's definitely tasted on the
exit
definitely
it's the first thing I tasted is that chocolate kind of taste to it though it doesn't say cocoa nibs or anything like that it's just it's got to be the coffee or
there's definitely a strong coffee flavor in there. I mean, obviously the bourbon is very pronounced as well, especially because it's as it warms up. Let's read the back of this real quick. The Underground Mountain Brown is the harmonious drinking experience only achieved when our Imperial Brown Ale, earthy Sumatra coffee, and a year aging in caves below Grand Rapids comes together. A team of malts complement the bold Sumatra coffee perfectly, while time spent in immersed in oak creates layers of depth and complexity. A celebration of the barrel, the bean, and everything in between.
I like it. Plus, anything aged in a cave, I'm down.
I'm down with that.
Cheese.
Mm-hmm. If you don't have a cheese cave, you ain't rich. That's how you know you're rich.
Oh, I see you have a nice wine cellar, but do you have a cheese cave?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think so.
That's right. Don't try to flex.
I didn't think so.
On our Cheese on the Inside podcast.
Putting cheese on the inside of stuff. I'm telling you, have you, I love, and they don't do enough of this, and I wish they did more of it. You know, you do like the wine and cheese pairings, but beer and cheese pairings.
Just as good.
So
but
good.
They're so infrequent.
Years ago, Tenaya Creek paired up with Whole Foods and they brought their cheesemonger in and they did a whole pairing and it was fantastic.
I would love to be a cheesemonger.
God
just,
damn,
I
me
mean,
too.
Like, what a cool ass title.
First of all.
You're a monger?
I want to be a monger.
Cheesemonger way cooler than a fishmonger.
A thousand, and way less messy.
Yeah.
And less smelly. I mean, depending on the cheese, but. Less blood, less guts.
Less heads.
Eyeballs.
Yeah. No eyeballs.
No eyeballs.
Zero eyeballs involved in cheese.
None. Just delicious crackers.
Mm-hmm.
And caves.
That's right.
What else do you want?
Nothing. I also feel like delicious crackers would be a great
band name. I'll tell you what, the Super Smiths by my house, like the Mega Smiths, I will troll the shit out of their cheese department on the weekends because they have their sample game down.
Really?
Yes. That is the freshest sample you will ever see. They are constantly replenishing it so you know it hasn't sat out there and it has that like that sweat
film.
That like sweat that cheese gets when it sits out. No. Oh no. And they pair it up with the world's best crackers. So they had these like,
What are the world's best crackers?
Well, here's what I didn't buy them. But because they were $9.
$9
for a cracker. They were like these Time sort of flatbread crackers.
Okay.
Time, I don't know. They come in like a plastic tub.
Mm-hmm.
man, they're good. And then I was like, I got to get these crackers. Where are they? She's like, oh, they're right around. It's like on the gourmet side of the, like the Murray's Cheese Island or whatever. And I literally, I sounded like a hillbilly. I was like, $8.99 for some crackers? Get out of your mind.
We're the Ritz.
Give us some Triscuits.
We're the Saltines.
Give us some Triscuits. And those, not those fake ones either. No, but I was like, they were delicious. So, and I was hungry that day. And the genius thing about that is the cheese section is right by the bar.
Okay.
And so the cheesemonger comes by the bar, which, by the way, if anyone has not tried the Smith's, Sky Canyon Smith's bar.
Don't they have like $3 beers or something like that?
$2 and $3.
And the $3 are like the big ones, right?
The $2 are too.
Yeah.
They're all craft.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
How many, what do they have, like 8, 12?
It's probably 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, about 12 taps. And it's and the volume that they go through. But I got the inside scoop. The breweries kind of get screwed on there because Smith's has a cap that they won't pay any more than X amount of dollars for a keg.
Really?
Yeah. So sometimes you'll see ones where they just have maybe like a six still on. So it'll be on for like 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. And then the other, like, you know, the bigger brands are like just kind of taking the ass just because they
want the exposure,
volume and the exposure. And you can try it and then buy it. So they kind of off.
Yeah.
You can buy it like in package. So they kind of offset that loss on the keg by saying,
is
well,
Smith's
hopefully.
Not still doing Visa, though? Is that the one?
Yeah, no Visa credit card.
I don't know.
Visa debit card.
I don't know how I feel about that. I tried to use my Visa debit card the other day at a Smith's gas station.
Yeah.
Still wouldn't take it.
Mine take your Visa debit card to work.
I tried it. The one over here on.
You might want to check your account.
It works. There's like $5 in there.
That's almost a gallon.
Oh, let me show you a text I got over the weekend. Speaking of gas, this is completely out of the. Out of left field, but this is a random text I got from, I believe that is the Memphis area code, 901. I got a random text on Saturday night.
Oh, that's nice.
From area code 901.
Can I read it?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, this Alicia, friend Ashley, light-skinned girl. Can I get $40 in gas?
First off, $40 in gas? Like, right. What are you driving, an F-350?
Well, that's filling up right now on a Nissan.
Oh, but still, though, like, I mean, who asked for a full tank of gas?
And you said Memphis area?
901 is Memphis.
Okay, so we're looking at Eastern Standard Time, meaning it was 1 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing some investigating here.
So wait, but her name is, so is that Alicia or is that Alicia's friend? Or is Alicia the light-skinned girl?
Who? I don't know. Hey, this Alicia friend, Ashley, light-skinned girl.
Okay, so Ashley, the light-skinned girl. I feel
or,
like...
Or, hey, this Alicia, like, I'm going to fill in the blanks. Hey, this is Alicia... The friend of Ashley, the light-skinned girl.
Okay.
No, I think Alicia's the light-skinned girl.
Okay.
And Ashley's her friend.
Okay.
But if no one knows your name, who are you asking for $40?
Yeah, that's why my wife wanted me to reach back out.
I kind of want to do it right now.
I mean, we're like 2 days past, 3 days past now at this point, you know.
Just say I heard they ran out of gas.
I showed it to Dave because we were in the middle of calling the Tough Enough fights. So yeah. we're in the middle of like, you know, commentating on mixed martial arts right in front of us. Yeah. And I look down at my phone, like in between fights, and I'm like, what? Who is this? What?
That's so great.
And I show it to them. They're like, yeah, respond back.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of, I ran out of gas for the first time in my life last night.
How did that happen? Hold on. Time for a beer.
Okay.
And we'll come back with that story.
Okay.
And we're back once again through the magic of the internets. So, Pam, you were getting ready to tell us a story of how you ran out of gas, but we have switched out our beers, and now we have Man's Best Friend from our friends over there at Big Dogs Brewing Company. This is one of the ones that they aged in Jameson casks.
Yeah.
And this is one of their Belgian dark strong ales. This is from cask number 2, and this one's just over a year old. It's been sitting in my garage fridge, and this one was bottled back on 9/26 of 2018. But the good news about Big Dogs, they just took home two golds, I believe, they took home one for their wood and barrel aged strong beer, the Naughty Dog, for that one, and they took home a bronze for the and the award goes
Yep.
Which I tried that, and I remember them telling me that those were the beers that they were going to feature, and the goes
was really, really good.
Yeah,
so
nice.
I see why that won. And their barrel aged stuff, a lot of the stuff they did with the Jameson guys, just absolutely amazing. And they were kind enough to give me some. And I actually picked up one bottle over at Total Wine and Spirits.
Yeah.
Just earlier today, and I forgot that I opened up my beer fridge. This is one of those things. I know this is like a problem. I opened up my beer fridge in the garage to like put it in there, and I'm like, oh,
I have one.
I have one of these already. So that was nice that Dave hooked us up with a couple months ago.
So the nice thing too, when you go to any of, I love a Big Dogs Beer Festival. I've said this 1,000 times in this podcast. I love a parking lot party with beer. I mean, there's nothing better than a parking lot party, and they always have a Jameson tent there. And it always ends up, and our friends at Big Dogs are nice enough to give us access to kind of like the, you know, the back area where you can go into the brewery and get some one-offs that they're not serving at the main tent. And invariably, there are shots of Jameson happening back there.
Ooh.
And that's when you go from, hey, everybody, I'm at the beer fest, to, I should get the fuck out of this beer fest.
I need to call an Uber right this very second. And you know, the Jameson collaboration that they did is just so cool.
It's awesome.
You know, I mean, it's awesome. An honor. I mean, like I said, Jameson is a brand known worldwide.
Yeah.
You know, they've sold more barrels of, you know, Irish whiskey
Absolutely.
Than probably anybody else in the entire world. And the fact that they would choose a brewery here in Las Vegas to partner with.
Yep.
And they made some, I've tried the Jameson that they've made with some of their, one of the stouts and one of the IPAs and stuff that they've tried, and that's awesome. But the, you know, what the strong ale is phenomenal. It's 10% ABV.
I think when you're a liquor company where your name can be shortened to a nickname, like Jamie, do a
J-Mo.
Couple shots at J-Mo. Jamie, whatever. Mm-hmm. You're an icon.
Yeah, you are in the vernacular of
a Mickey's Big Mouth.
Yeah.
Same, but different.
Do they even make the Big Mouths anymore?
No, because, well, the grenades?
The hand grenades. All I ever see is like the 40s.
I don't know, but do you remember back in the day when they had the pop tops?
Oh, yeah.
And I had this friend, Brian, in high school, who would rip it off every time with his teeth, and he would cut his lip every time, so he had a perpetual cut lip.
Oh, God, that sounds awful.
Yeah, and we're like, why are you doing?
Why would you do that?
Well, because we're in
high
school.
I get it.
We're
and
idiots.
You're like, you want to throw like a hand grenade.
Yeah. And you go, you know.
Yeah, and then you down it.
Yeah, and then throw it in the fire. Everything went in the fire.
And then it explodes.
Yeah.
A can of beans in there, and it turns into napalm.
Yeah, it's the best.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the desert, people growing up in the desert don't have that same kind of like woods experience that you get on the East Coast and the Midwest, because like the big parties were either in a cornfield or they were in the woods.
We had no cornfields where I was. It was all woods. And then it would be like, you knew it was a good party if the cops came and you had to run through like in the summertime when you had woods parties. And like, so you'd wear shorts and stuff. And then you'd run through the woods like when the cops showed up. And then the next day you just looked down, your legs were covered in scratches from thorns and
all I think of is like Lyme disease and ticks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, God, that sounds so. Like, what were we doing just because we were trying to drink a beer?
Like, you remember like scratching your head and being like, uh oh, and then finding a tick?
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like,
what do you do? You got somebody get a match.
Well, or the tweezers.
We would do the burnt match.
We would do the tweezers and then burn it.
Okay.
Yeah. Gross.
It's just like, oh, that is one thing I do not like.
Bugs?
We get scorpions out here, but that's about, you know, that's
manageable.
That is manageable. You know, just set up a bunch of black lights.
Yeah. And by the way, that I would rather deal with one scorpion than 2,000 mosquitoes.
Yeah. Mosquitoes and gnats and chiggers.
Chiggers.
Oh, my God. I went back to Missouri a year or two ago, and I was visiting my friend's house, and we're sitting out back and we're smoking a cigar, having some beers and just catching up, doing what you do. And then the next day, like, my legs are just destroyed, and I'm like, what happened? I had forgotten about chiggers.
Yeah.
Like, because we were sitting right near the grass, and, like, they just got me.
And the biting flies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those are the worst.
Like, yeah. That
well, chiggers are the same as scabies. I got scabies once.
Isn't scabies, isn't that, like, crabs?
No, scabies, like, gets under your skin.
I don't know. I don't know if, I don't even know if chiggers are their, like, real.
You get scabies in the woods.
Yeah.
I did not get them from the woods.
No?
No, I got them from a hotel in LA.
Oh.
No, I know it sounds so gross, but I'll tell you why. So I went to this my friend's wedding, and I stayed in this really nice hotel downtown LA because she got married downtown LA, and it was this like, kind of like the Mandarin Oriental, but it was an Asian themed hotel.
Okay,
but very nice, you know. And I got back to Vegas, and a couple days later, like my thighs, like the tops of my thighs, like by my knees, were itching so bad, and they had little red dots all over. Like above my knees.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
And I'm like, what the hell, man? And I'm thinking like, oh, do I have measles or what is this? Like, it was horrible. So I go to my doctor and she's like, have you been camping lately? I said, no. She goes, have you been hiking in the woods lately? I said, no. And then randomly she goes, have you traveled to an Asian country lately? I said, no, but I stayed in an Asian hotel in LA. She goes, you got scabies. And I was like, huh? First of all, I'm like, A, get it out of me,
yeah.
However you do that.
Not cool.
This is
not cool.
I don't even know what that is.
Sounds gross.
It sounds horrendous.
Yeah.
And she said, yes, a lot of Asian travelers will come to the States and they bring this parasite with them.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. And I got it from the hotel.
Is it like super bed bugs or something like that?
It's like super bed bugs.
Oh, no, man.
Yeah. I was like, should I set my legs on fire?
Should I just burn everything? All my
set my legs on fire.
All my clothes,
everything,
my house,
everything,
car.
I just burn it all. And anyway, she just gave me some cream and it went
rubbed
away.
It off.
Yeah,
okay.
But yeah. So that was that. But yeah, so that was scabies. That was good times.
Never got the scabies.
Well, you're a lucky man.
I feel like I dodged a bullet there
because it's real itchy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Same thing with the chiggers. But yeah, I don't.
What if that had traveled north?
Oh my God.
That's horrible.
Yeah. No good.
No good. Yeah, so that was that. Scabies.
We should drink some of the man's best friend from our friends over there at Big Dogs
Ooh.
Brewing Company.
Ooh.
Dave Pascal. I mean, he makes great beer. I mean, the whole team over there.
The whole team kills
it. The whole team over there is really, really good. And I'm so proud of them. You know, I mean,
yeah.
They continue to represent Nevada in a great way out of the Great American Beer Festival.
And
you know?
Draft House. You know, I was talking to my friend Dave about this the other day.
The Draft House was closer to me.
It's very close to me.
It's very close to you. It is not close to me on the other side of the world.
I was talking to my friend Dave about this, and we were talking about how they nailed it at Big Dogs, right? It's comfortable.
Yep.
Everyone's friendly. Service is great.
Mm-hmm.
Food is great. Beers are great. They have good gaming promotions. They've got awesome, cool specials. You can bring your kids there, and a lot of breweries, you can do that here in town. And obviously, you're not going to belly up to the bar with them. But,
no.
You know, it's still nice to be in the dining room there. And it's got that locals, real locals feel to it.
Definitely.
Where you're very comfortable there. Golden Tee, shuffleboard, say no more.
You need a shuffleboard.
Big Buck Hunter. You know, I told someone the other day. Well, not the other day. It was like a couple years ago. But I said... they said, well, what do you do for a living? I said, I am one of the models in Buck Hunter. No one knows how to respond to that.
Like, okay.
Yeah. I'm just like, no, I'm not. No, you know, I have those hookers basically in Buck Hunter. I am one of the models in Buck Hunter and I'm paid every time someone buys.
That's right.
No,
so,
but,
so it's a very lucrative industry.
We got to get our golden tee back on because I'm not lying. This girl. Multiple eagles.
What?
There's all new courses now.
For 2020? Is 2020 out already?
I don't know if it's 2020, but there's
2019?
New courses.
Okay.
It's got to be.
Maybe.
There's some good ones.
Okay.
Yeah. Eagles galore. I almost got a hole-in-one. Almost.
I still have never got a hole-in-one.
I've gotten two.
You've shown me those, I'm insanely jealous.
I know.
I am insanely jealous. I feel like... See, the only problem for us is that like our schedules now are on we're on opposite schedules.
I know,
and we're so far away from each other on the side of the valley.
That's why it makes days like this so special.
Like I can't drink on the weekends all that often anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like you got the you know like because my wife's busy working. Like she's working her ass off. Like I've got nothing but free time. You know, Monday through Friday from like 11:30 to 3:30. I can do whatever I want whenever, you know, like I've got no oversight. Nothing's, you know, like nothing's happening. But my wife doesn't get home now until like 5 o'clock at night most nights because she's, you know, she's at her school and there's, you know, she's the boss and,
you
know, it's like it's a lot of work. So I don't see her very much, even though we, you know, like we live together.
Yeah,
and, you know, it's like we sleep in the same bed. that sort of thing, but we don't really
spend that time.
Yeah, you don't spend like quality time because it's like she gets home, she goes and works out. I'm over here doing whatever I'm doing.
Yeah.
Not working out.
Walking around.
Napping, second nap.
Second nap.
Sometimes you got to take the second nap.
Second. Same mark as before. That's mm-hmm. right. Second lunch.
Oh, yeah. He knows. It's a bang bang.
He goes to lunch.
Yeah.
And then we'll send a photo of the next lunch he goes to.
This is a man who knows how to live. Sometimes you need a second lunch.
Sometimes. Every day.
I mean, he's got it down packed. Go relax, have yourself a nice beer, you know.
Second lunch.
Mix it up. Second lunch. He knows what's up. We call it a bang bang.
Is that it?
We call it a bang bang.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
We call it a bang bang.
Back to Big Dogs and the beer
mm-hmm.
and cheese. Their queso dip, new to the menu.
Game changer.
Dude. So good.
So smelling this beer, this Belgian strong ale.
Caramel.
Lots of caramel.
Yep.
Lots of caramel. I mean, and you look at it. Very amber. It's you know, it's dark, but it's not hazy. You know,
the color's beautiful.
Yeah, it's you hold it up to the light, and you're just like, oh man, that is a good looking beer, and you can definitely smell the Jameson in there.
I don't know. I thought something was floating but it was just a shadow.
Yeah, we just rinsed these glasses out.
No, I know. I figured that.
You got shadows chasing you, Pam.
You hate that.
But smell. I mean, you definitely get some of that that Irish whiskey.
Yeah.
You know, in the nose. I mean, this is a little bit warmer. I would say this is, you know, 45, 50 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, and it's warmer.
This is a lip smacker. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like after you drink it, it leaves a lot of residual taste in your mouth, but it packs a little punch. I mean, it's boozy.
Boozy. But not in crazy. It's the booze hits you like on the aftertaste.
Yeah. And in your tummy.
Yeah, I mean, it's the warming. It's like when you're drinking some Jameson. It warms as it goes down.
Yes.
Strong beer. I mean, obviously, this is the style. It's a strong ale.
Yeah.
And those guys over there really know how to make them. But this is really good. And like I said, I wish I could remember, you know, I had this, you know, what, 6 months ago or something like that. So it's hard for me to remember exactly. I remember liking it. And I'm liking it now. But I'm curious if it's changed any.
I'm sure it has.
Yeah.
I think that's just
sitting in the bottle for a year.
You know, that's just innate of this style of beer or aging of beer in general. But you know what I also like about Big Dogs is they cook with their beer.
Yeah.
Like their chili's made with their red hydrant, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I love to see when breweries do that, when they collab with their kitchen. And Sergio over there, their executive chef, he's a bomb. You know, he's just knocking stuff out. Their pot roast.
I love a good pot roast. I feel like pot roast is such an underrated item. I feel like it got such a bad rap from like
the 70s.
70s and 80s.
There's nothing better.
A pot roast is beautiful. Like, I feel like, you're coming home to a pot roast.
Yeah.
No, man. Like, pot roast is the business.
With mashed potatoes?
Yes. And gravy? Oh, my God.
Big Dog's pot roast is different in that it has bell peppers in it, which just seems strange.
Hmm.
But what I love about it, it's based off someone who had worked there or does work, I don't know, their mom's recipe.
Okay.
And so the veggies aren't mushy. They're still crisp.
Yeah, yeah.
So like the carrots still have a little something to them, and the celery a little something.
So it's not just like meh.
It's not mush.
Yeah.
It's so freaking good, and they give you like, you eat that for 3 days.
Okay.
Easily for 3 days.
I'm in.
It is so good.
I feel like pot roast and meatloaf are the two that are like, you don't like meatloaf?
No. Keep your bread out of my meat.
Is there bread in meatloaf?
Bread crumbs. That's what makes it a loaf.
Is it? I don't know. I just know it's like a loaf.
Eggs and bread.
Ugh. I'm in on it. I love meatloaf. Give me all of it. Like, I feel like meatloaf got a bad rap in the 70s and the 80s. And like, anytime I go to a place, I'm like, there's a place, Zest, it used to be off the strip down in Southern Highlands.
Yeah.
They got a bomb-ass meatloaf.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And then if I can find a place that has pot roast, I've never tried the pot roast over at Big Dog.
Oh, it'll be the best thing you ever had.
But I'm all in on some pot roast.
And I will tell you that the mashed potatoes they put it over,
mm-hmm.
essentially butter with some potatoes.
Okay.
And it's fantastic.
Are they a little bit of lumpy or? Yeah.
They're perfect.
That's right. Because you can whip them too much.
No, because then it just turns into
like a
potato air.
Yeah, but yeah, that's not good.
No.
You gotta have some lumps.
Yeah.
Not completely lumpy.
No.
But some lumps.
Some lumps. When I make my mashed potatoes, I throw a little sour cream in there too.
Okay.
And I do it with buttermilk.
Not milk. I'm in on that.
Yeah.
I think that's how my mom does it.
Yeah.
We go buck wild. We do like probably 10 or 12 like little things of garlic.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Oh, just throw those in there.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. Yukon Gold potatoes.
Oh, I want Thanksgiving so bad right now.
I'm going to be like, I love Thanksgiving so much. Like John Moles Meats, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Like I know you're a great cook and I am not. So I always usually buy my meats. I've cooked my turkeys in the past, but I've just found out that like going to John Moles and getting a smoked turkey, and they have a smoked ham there too, bone in. They have a bone in ham.
Bomb.
That is just bomb.
Yeah.
And that is the way to do it. I feel like Thanksgiving food gets it's so overlooked because like, why aren't we eating a whole roast turkey?
All the time.
Yeah. It's great. It's perfect.
It's like, the best.
Like what about what about green bean casserole? Why is that only like a two-time-a-year thing?
I don't know.
I feel like green bean casserole gets a bad shake, and that is a phenomenal side dish.
It's a phenomenal side. Green beans in general, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Stuffing, I don't like hot bread.
Okay. You don't like stuffing?
I like different kind of stuffing. Like, my stepdad makes a stuffing that is unbelievable because it does have like some, what's it called? Stouffer's? Like the
yeah,
box.
Yeah.
It has some of that in there, but it's not like big chunks of apples and bread and raisins. And
yeah.
It's like wild rice and red bell pepper.
Okay.
And it's savory more than like apples and fruit and hot bread.
I mean, I don't know what kind of Stouffer's you're getting. Is that what's in there? I mean, I like the Stouffer's mix. It's just, it reminds
it's
me
like
of.
That's just like a part of it.
Yeah.
It's not the whole thing.
No, I hear you. But the Stouffer's is much like the original Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Yes.
It is not good.
No.
But it has a flavor.
That must be recreated for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that is reminiscent, that takes you back. That transports you. Like, you can put the best stuffing in the world in front of me.
Maybe
it's
the Stouffer's. Maybe it's Pepperidge Farm we get.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway.
Stovetop?
No.
You know, I think we do Stovetop, honestly.
And I feel like Stovetop.
Which is like the most basic of all.
Yeah.
But I like it, you know, but we instead of water, we use the chicken
broth.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to. That's just.
And then you just load that thing up with gravy.
That's science.
Game changer.
That's science. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, Thanksgiving's the best.
It food, is. It really.
Football.
I mean, it
is.
I cannot wait. I feel like. Even though in my house, we kind of skip over Thanksgiving, even though we do the meal, but we don't celebrate it. We go straight from Halloween into Christmas as far as decorating goes.
Okay.
So like you're here at the house.
Well, Halloween has fall aspects to it. You can kind of do both.
Yeah, but I mean, we go straight into Christmas because 25 days is just not enough.
To redo
everything and get the tree set up and,
yeah. You
know, get the house in. Tis the season,
right?
That sort of thing. So, like, right. We go from November 1st to MLK Day.
Well, you guys are festive AF.
Yeah. Well, it's a wife. I would never do it.
She's very good at that.
I enjoy it very much. So, I'm listening to Christmas
because
music.
You don't have to do shit.
I'm listening to Christmas music now.
No.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm on it.
Nope.
Bing Crosby, what up?
I like the Boston Pops.
Do you? Okay. Going classic, classical.
I like the actual Jingle Bells. Even though Jingle Bells is a garbage song.
It is a garbage song. It's a dump. Well, you know what else is? Like, what is it? Rocking Around the Christmas Tree? What the fuck does rocking around a... Who rocks around a Christmas tree?
You know what else can eat?
What's that?
Jingle Bell Rock.
Okay. Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
I want an angelic chorus singing my Christmas carols.
See, I like, give me Bing Crosby. Bing Crosby's like my go-to, like Christmas, or Johnny Mathis.
I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have a little sob in your car with that one.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Oh, it's so sad.
So sad. So like that sad. Folgers commercial where the guy comes home and he makes the coffee and the mom smells it and she comes downstairs and there he's standing there. It's the same commercial for 30 years. And every time I'm like, here's where she sees him.
It's the best part of waking up. It's Folgers in your cup.
And my son in my kitchen.
That's right.
I think this is delicious beer.
This is delicious beer, and I think this is a good place to call this another Beer for Breakfast podcast. Some great beers today, and really appreciate you joining us.
Always great to be here.
This has been another Beer for Breakfast podcast. Have a great day.